Good morning.
Good morning. Hold on.
I take it you're the only one?
Yes.
Okay. You having a good week?
Just a... Yes, I'm having a good week. I've got Tony at the door watching for the birds because they're trying to come in again. Only they're doing it twice a day. So he's sitting in the entranceway watching to slam the door so the watchers move away because there's two that stand guard. The swarming team make circles like torpedoes. To get under the porch. I have no trouble with them building a nest, but where they build a nest, they make a mess, so much so we had to paint the door, you know, for some scrub and everything. So that, and they did that 3 weeks last year.
Brandla?
Good morning.
Okay, we've got two, so I'm going to go ahead and mute.
Good morning.
All right.
Good morning.
Good morning.
So today's class is continuing our study of Psalm 78. We're going to start with verse 49. You can find the handout on the Nechon Mamre website. If you go to the unique astrological times link, scroll down to the section titled Ta'anit Dibur, the Fast of Words. And underneath that, you'll find a handout for the Psalms landing page covering Psalm 78. When that landing page opens up, scroll down to Psalm 78. And at the bottom of that section, just before Psalm 79, there is a link to the Nechon Mamre website for the Psalms. And when that opens up, scroll down, and we will start with Pasuk 49, which is the last one we did last Friday. And we'll start with the L'shem Yehud. And as a reminder, this psalm is describing all of the miracles that happened up until the redemption from Egypt, or maybe even including the redemption, the time in the desert, I'm not sure. L'shem Yehud Kud Shabarichu Ishkin Te Bid Hilu Urchimu Ud Hilu Ud Hilu Urchimu Le'afda L'shem Yud He Bavav He Yehuda Shalim B'Shem Kol Yisrael Limud Torah Mitzvah La'asok Torah Mitzvah V'ehino Am Adonai Eloheinu Aleinu Ma'asei Yadeinu Konenei Aleinu Ma'asei Yadeinu Konenehu. Pasuk 49. And for some reason my computer jumped to a higher number. Yishalach bam haron apo evra wazam wutzara mishlachat malake raim. He sent forth upon them the fierceness of his anger, his wrath and his indignation, and trouble, ascending of messengers of evil. What we didn't discuss last week, we did do the numbers of this verse. But the real question is, how is Hashem's anger a miracle? And it should be obvious. Hashem does not get angry. The Torah uses the language of men. As King David said, if we were God, chas v'shalom, we would get angry. So he calls it fierceness of his anger. But it is a miracle that he uses this negativity as a wake-up call, as a cleansing, as a process to return to Hashem, to do teshuvah. That is the miracle. And we need to appreciate that. We need to appreciate that miracle. And it applies in our current situation with the pandemic. It's a wake-up call to return to Hashem. I'm not hearing that in the modern news. I'm hearing it from the religious communities, but they're all by attaching it to their agendas. Whatever agenda they had before the miracle, before the wake-up call of the coronavirus, where are they? They're still talking about that agenda that they have. They're not questioning the agenda. They're not looking for what is the real lesson for each individual person. Because after all, I'm religious. After all, I'm involved and connected to Hashem. But that's not the answer. The answer is, what is wrong with your agenda? Why aren't you leaving your agenda behind and rethinking, reevaluating, returning to Hashem at a higher level, at a stronger level, at a more intense level? Where is your passion? Is it the same as it was before the wake-up call? That's the message. Verse 50. Yifales na titiv la polo chasha mimaved nafsham v'hayatam ladever chizkir. He leveled a path for his anger. He spared not their soul from death, but gave their life over to the pestilence. If we count the words, 10 words, which connects to the 10 Sefirot, all of the attributes, all of the categories, all of the creation is included in the 10 Sefirot. These are the shorashim, the roots that create all the separation, all the differences between the various creations in the world and universe. If you look at the second word in Hebrew, it is nativ. And that is a word for path. But I've been telling you for years that the word for path is halakha. It's not a law, a halakha. It's a pathway. But there's only one word for path in Hebrew. So which is it? Is it native or is it halakha? And the answer is, they're different descriptions of paths. Halakha is a public pathway. Each and every soul can walk that pathway. It's right for each and every soul. The native is the word for path that's used in the Sefer Yetzirah when it talks about the 32 paths of wisdom. Native is a solitary path, a path where you walk alone with Hashem. Because Hashem is everywhere, even in the solitary paths. And here King David is saying he's created a path for his anger. When Satan is given permission to wreak havoc in the world with a plague, a pestilence, one of the four horsemen of the apocalypse, all of the negative aspects, if Satan sees you, you can be included in that pestilence, in that plague. But if you are not outside of your home, a home where there's a kosher mezuzah, Satan doesn't have permission to cross that threshold. He cannot see you. You are concealed. There's a lot of wisdom and lessons in this discussion of concealing yourself from the negativity. And there are 39 letters in Pasuk 50. And we know from our previous discussions, 39 is the Hebrew word tal, tet lamed. And it translates as dew. It's the dew of the anointing. This path for his anger, this native for his anger, is a process that leads to Mashiach, to the dew of the anointing. Does that mean that Mashiach is coming tonight? Yes, Mashiach is coming tonight, just like he came last night, and just like he came the night before. We have to be ready for Mashiach to come now. But that doesn't mean that we change our life when Mashiach comes. Our life will remain the same when Mashiach initially comes. The process of living will continue. And that is a mistake that many, many people make. The prophecies are clear. The sages are clear. When Mashiach comes, life continues as it was before with one major change. Israel will not be under the authority of the other nations. That has not yet happened. Israel is still under the authority of the other nations. Verse 51. But let me say, may Mashiach come tonight and change that. Verse 51. Vayach kol bakor Mitzrayim reshit almin be'ahaleicham. And smote all of the firstborn in Egypt, the firstfruits of their strength in the tents of Ham. There are three races in the human being, in Homo sapien. White, yellow, and red, as we all know. excuse my description of races by skin color. It's not an appropriate way of describing it, but it's the easiest way. There's the white, there's the Caucasian, there's the Oriental, and there is the Negro. The tents of Ham are the tents, the home of the Negro, which comes out of Africa, and Egypt is in Africa. So this is the idea of this verse. There are eight words which connects us to the world that is coming, the world of Olam Haba, the world of Briah. And there are 32 letters. 32 is the Hebrew word lev, heart. These combination of numbers, in my opinion, the eight words and the 32 letters complement each other, because the eight does connect to Bina, but does connect to Olam Haba, the world that is coming. But the path to connect to that is control of the heart, the control of the emotions. And this is what the 32 paths of wisdom and the heart, the word lev, helps us connect to and understand and relate to. The path to Olam Haba comes through control of your emotions. But he made his own people to go forth like sheep and guided them in the wilderness like a flock. Six words, which is Zeran Pin, which is that slight elevation of the Jewish people relative to the other 70 nations. In order to be the balance point, we have to be spiritually higher. And that's expressed in the six words of this verse. And there are 26 letters, and Hashem is connected to Zeran Pin. Metaphorically, Zeran Pin is Hashem. But I must stress, just because I said we need to be spiritually higher does not mean we're better. It just means we have additional responsibilities, and we're given the tools to be able to activate those responsibilities. In some generations we have done so, and in other generations we haven't. I'll leave it up to you to ask the question and to answer the question. In my generation, have we done so? Verse 53. Wayan hem laveta willo pachadu v'yet oyevehem kisa hayam. And he led them safely, and they feared not, but the sea overwhelmed their enemies. Did they really fear Lot? Did they fear not when the Egyptians were attacking them? And some said they wanted to go back to Egypt. Did they truly not fear? How easy it is to remove your fear when you see an overt miracle like the splitting of the sea. The test is when you don't have an overt miracle, but you have certainty that Hashem will provide protection, provide parnassah, sustenance, provide healing. Whatever you need, Hashem will provide. But you have to have certainty that that's what will happen. Eight words connecting to Olam Haba, the world that is coming. Letters. There's a relationship between verses 51 and verses 53. What is the relationship? They both have eight words. They both have 32 letters. Olam Haba is connected to eight. Lev, the heart, is connected to the 32. There's a unity whenever these numbers are the same. Whether we understand that unity or we welcome that unity, the unity exists. Verse 54. Vayim el gevul kadsho harzeh. And he brought them to his holy border, to the mountain which his right hand had gotten. Eight words. Twenty-nine letters. Eight words connects to Olam Haba. The 29 connects to the Hebrew month of Av, and Av represents father, the parsuf of Abba. Verse 55. Wagaresh mitnehem goyim wayapilem bechevel nachala וישכן ביח עליהם שבטי ישראל. He drove out the nations also before them, and allotted them for an inheritance by line, and made the tribes of Israel to dwell in their tents. Ten words connects to the ten sephirot. It connects to the all of creation. Fifty letters connects to the 50 levels of negativity, the 50 levels of positivity. 50 connects to Bina, to the world that is coming. It's an interesting translation. I'm trying to relate to which word is being translated as a line. Because the line is a word in the Kabbalah representing the process. When did he make the tribes of Israel dwell in their tents? When they were walking in the desert. But also, they weren't in their tents, but they were in Egypt on the night of Passover. They were in their homes, which could be likened to a tent. But it's explaining this whole idea. The nations were driven out of Israel, and they were allotted to them by line, meaning by lot. It was allotted to the tribes of Israel.
Hello.
Yes, Hannah, go ahead.
Okay. When they had crossed the Yom Suf, and Pharaoh was after them, you know, Exodus 14 and Bechelah.
Right.
Hashem had them in their tents, and they were to face that mountain. That mountain was also called Baal Zebub, which was worshipped by the people there, you know, as another type of idolatry. It wasn't just the idol, but the mountain. And in one of the sources that I did the research, that actually had a picture of the tents facing that mountain. So
that mountain
the
being Sinai or some other mountain?
Mm-hmm. So that's another mountain.
It was another mountain, and the fence tents were faced away from God, but towards the other mountain? That's a rather symbolic.
He had them facing the that to actually see Pharaoh coming and telling Moses, and Moses telling them not to fear. That was when they were complaining and everything.
Okay, that was before they entered. That was before they entered the sea.
Okay.
Or after. I'm not familiar with the Midrash. That's why I'm asking the question.
Well, you have, I sent you the file because you asked me for it, this study, the whole amount. With the ladies, I only gave them 5 pages, but of 2 photos, I gave them the photo of Hashem telling them to face it with 3 places, Migdal, Hahirot, and what was the other one? Migdal. And those 3 places were all linked. There's maps of them on the source that I'd have to look at my handout again.
And I'll have to look at what you've said.
It's basically
I'm familiar with that section of the Torah, because that's part of the whole discussion in my basic class about certainty and recognizing that there's a higher level than emunah and bidachon.
Mm-hmm.
So, but thank you for your comment.
Okay. I'm going to mute again. Thank you.
Verse 56. Vayinasu vayamru et Elohim elyon be'edotav lo shamaru. Yet they tried and provoked God, the Most High, and kept not his testimonies. 8 words. And 35 letters. And we learned last night in our discussion of the Ari, the strength and the power of the year, the number 35. If I could remember it clearly, I would express it, but it has something to do with the second spelling out of Hashem's name. And it has to do with the word Yigdal as well, which is 13 and 34, which when it can be parsed into 2 different pairs of letters. And how the Ari explains that 34 is truly 35, and 13 is truly 12. And we discussed it, we learned about it last night. Pasuk 57. Why so good? Why you've good do? Kavotam nehepetu kekeshet remia. That turned back and dealt treacherously like their fathers. They were turned aside like a deceitful bow. The 6 words represent Zeranpin without being connected to Malchut. Zeranpin, without its unity with Malchut, truly serves no purpose. It's like a male without his spouse. The 3 letters is a connection. connection to the letter Lamed, which means, as a word, means teacher. That's in 58. Vaya Jesu Vamotam Uvisilehem Yakniu. For they provoked him with their high places and moved him to jealousy with their graven images. Again, we have to question, how is this related to idol? It's describing idol worship, but how do we relate that to being a miracle? Because we are taught that when one makes a mistake and then returns, they return to a higher place than those who did not ever make that mistake. One way of understanding that teaching is to realize that when you make a mistake and then you return to Hashem, you have learned something. Whereas the person who didn't make the mistake in the first place doesn't have that opportunity to learn. That is one way of understanding it. There are four words in Pasuk 58. Four refers to the process of life, the four phases, the process of creation. Pasuk 59. Shama Elohim Vayitabar Vayim Masmeo B'Yisrael. God heard and was wroth, and he greatly abhorred Israel. Six words representing Zeron Pin without the unity with Malchut. Twenty-eight letters represents Koach, the Hebrew word for power or strength. Pasuk 60. Vayitos Mishkan Shiloh Ohel Shekein Ba'adam. And he forsook the tabernacle of Shiloh, the tent which he had made to dwell among men. There are six words connecting to Zeron Pin without the connection to Malchut. And it's interesting to note that the tabernacle at Shiloh was semi-permanent. It had walls, but it did not have a roof. The roof was still a tent. 21 letters represents a connection to the name Echye, Aleph Hey Yud Hey. Echye, I am. Verse 61. Vayiten lashvi uzo vati farto piyatsar, and delivered his strength into captivity and his glory into the adversary's hand. Is this describing the wars between the Philistines and the Israelis during the book of Judges and the book, early book of Samuel? Or is this describing the destruction of the temple and the selling of the people into captivity, into slavery, and the removal to Babel, to Babylonia? In either case, does it sound like a miracle? And yet it is. It is a miracle. Because it's a cleansing process. And we need to see these events in history as for what they are. The cleansing of negativity. As I said, there are six words. And 23 letters. And one way of understanding 23 is Gimel Kaf Sofit. And it would be translated as your camel. But what does it mean? What does a camel represent? It represents transportation, which represents process. It, camel represents a carrier of water, just like the Aquarian astrological sign represents a water carrier. But the difference is the water carrier is in the open. The camel is a water carrier that is concealed. Contemplate that and recognize those differences. Verse 62. Vayasker lacherev amo uvnachalato kitabar. He gave his people over also unto the sword and was wroth with his inheritance. I'm not sure what the word wroth actually translates as, what it actually means. There are five words representing the five worlds. Also, the five levels of Zeren Pin, the five levels of. We always speak of the ten Sephirot, but sometimes we speak of the five parts of theme, where we talk about Keter, Chachma, Bina, Zeran Pin, and Malchut. And that is the connection of the number five. And 24 letters represents the 24 hours of the day, 12 hours of light and 12 hours of darkness. Verse 63. Bahurav achlaish uftu lotav lohulalu. Fire devoured their young men, and their virgins had no marriage song. Six words. They're on pin without the unity with Malchut. Representing the 27 letters of the Aleph-Bet, the 22 basic letters with the 5 final letters. But again, does this sound like a miracle to have fire devouring the young men and leaving the virgins without a marriage? Yet this is the process of cleansing. And the cleansing is an important part of the process. Because ultimately, if we think about it, you cannot rise any higher than what your negativity allows you. And until you remove the negativity, and by removing negativity, you do rise higher. But if you don't remove the negativity, you don't get higher. You cannot rise higher. Verse 64 will be our last verse. Tohana bacherev nafalu be'al minotav lo tivchena. Their priests fell by the sword, and their widows made no lamentation. The six words. Twenty-nine letters connecting to the Partsuf of Vav, to the month of Vav, to the Abba. And again, the priest fell by the sword. Is that referring to the city of Nob, that King Shaul killed in his search for his anger that they fed David and his men?
Yeah, okay.
Or is it another area? There are many, many times in our history where priests were felled by the sword, where priests were killed, and the women, the widows, were so involved in staying alive that they could not lament the death of their husbands. The Shoah is just another instance in that long history. The reason I'm stopping here is that we could probably finish a few more verses. But next week, we'll be able to finish and also have time to say the 72 verses in their Hebrew, as is our pattern. So, and I didn't want to end it on the number 65, because that connects to Adonai and out of respect, and for the amazing teaching from the Ari from last night, we're going to stop here at 64. Does anyone have there any questions?
I do, Hanok. It's on verse 64. I just need to have clarity on the last word, Hulalu, which means praising and rejoicing. Why did the rabbis infer that it was marriage, most marriage celebration? Because does not the female have to acquire her own inner joy for Hashem apart from possible marriage? But I didn't understand why they referred it that way, though the word does not say that. I don't know if it's just hinting or what.
Well, first off, you're talking about verse 63, not 64.
Oh, yeah, 63, yes. Sorry.
Okay, so everybody can then refer to it. The last word is hulalu, which is cognate to hallelujah without
right. The
final yeah. It's a word, though, that same spelling is in the last line of Psalm 150. And your question is, why are they translating it as marriage song?
Yes.
Because they're relating it to the fact that the soul, which is both male and female, were lost. Because when the men are lost, the female has no one to be truly connected to. We have a world that women live longer than men, sometimes for years.
Right.
I know one particular widow, her husband died in his 60s, and she's now 92. Well, she says she's 93. Sometimes she says she's 97 because she's not as aware as she once was. But whether she's 97, 93, 91, she's lived 20-plus years since her husband died. And she chose not to remarry. She chose not to make herself available to remarry because she felt that her husband was her soulmate. And that's what it's referring to, and that's why the rabbis, in my opinion, that's why they brought the word together, because the word is a happy word. And a marriage song is a happy word. What is a marriage song? It's the joy of being together. And that's what the hallelujah is expressing. But unfortunately, it has the not word ahead of it. But according to modern science, if I understand it correctly, and I know you do, Bracha, the negative is not heard or understood by the conscious mind. It does never hear the word no, it just hears the word hallelujah. And so that relates, help you understand that as well.
Okay. Thank you.
That's clear. I hope that helps to clear it up.
Yeah, it has greatly. Thank you, Hanok.
Are there any other questions? Everyone have a Shabbat Shalom. I'm reminding you that our class tomorrow night will be a Zohar class for the Parasha of Vayikra, for learning to do sacrifices, and that our classes Sunday, both classes, are going to be related to teaching on the Ketoret, the incense offering, which is really a connection to draw closer to Hashem, to help you return to Hashem. And it also has been taught throughout the centuries as a protection against plagues. So it is highly recommended that you read the Ketoret twice a day. We started that last Thursday night, yesterday evening, in our 7 o'clock class, and we'll be doing that during this particular plague. May it leave quickly. Have a beautiful Shabbat. Shabbat Shalom. It's a very special Shabbat. It has a name, Shabbat HaChodesh. HaChodesh means the new month, but it's really saying the new year that commences with Nitzan. And we will be reading the offerings of the Nasiim, of the princes, each of the 14 days of Nisan. We will be doing that. I will be announcing the time on Sunday. I have to confirm what we're going to be doing in this physical building here. So, Shabbat Shalom to all. Be on the lookout.
Shabbat Shalom. Okay, Toda. Okay, somebody unmuted and you were blurry at the end.
I'm sorry, Tana, you didn't hear what I said at the end?
The very last, about the 14 days, whatever was the last line. Somebody unmuted and...
What I said was that I was reminding everyone that we would be doing the Nasi or the prince's offerings. We would be reading from the Torah and doing those studies every morning.
Okay, did you give a time? Was what I wasn't sure of. That's
what I said. There is no time yet. Approximately 10, but I have to confirm that because I need to know when we're going to do it in the building here and see if I can unify it. But if I can't, I'll do it twice. So we'll just have to wait and see what the discussion is today because I'm meeting with the people to determine that.
I feel like Hashem has given us two opportunities of 2 weeks to be in our own houses, to be able to observe Shabbat without driving to the synagogue for everything, you know. So we really have the opportunity for the next week to be in our homes and really the Shabbat. All right. Thank you so much.
Shabbat Shalom to all. Thank you for your comments.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Shabbat Shalom.